everyone, and welcome to the podcast, Michael and the True. My name is Belinda, and today's date is September the 14th, 2021, which is a Tuesday. It's very early Tuesday, just trying to get this over with so we can move on to other things. Today's episode is episode 15, News and Views, number 3, Celebrate Michael Always. This episode is going to be a pretty quick one. It's not going to be a lot of stuff that we're going to talk about, but we are mostly going to talk about certain things that happened the past few weeks. This episode is all about Michael's birthday celebrations, the future of how his legacy will be handled, Gloria Haydock remembered, albums being recertified, Bad Choice 34, and Janet Jackson's trailer for her documentary has been released. You can listen to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and also on anchor.fm.com. Websites for the blog is michaelinthetruth.blogspot.com, and for the podcast is michaelinthetruth.blogspot.com. Social media, Facebook, you type in Michael in the Truth podcast and the podcast pops up. Click on it, like the page, all the updates we post on there. Twitter is at womanfocus, YouTube is Michael in the Truth, Instagram is at Michael in the Truth podcast. Best way to contact me is email, which is michaelinthetruth@gmail.com. And if you want to talk to me about all kinds of stuff, you can email me and we can discuss those things. That's the best way to, like I said, that's the best way to contact me. It would be best not to contact me on social media. I usually will not respond to those things. So try to send me an email if you have any questions you want to ask me. If you have anything you want to suggest, you can do that. Okay, the show notes. So, Michael's birthday, August 29, 2021, was a Sunday. It was would have been Michael's 63rd birthday. And before that day, the day before, August 28th, the estate of Michael Jackson did a special celebration of his life called Michael, that was done in Las Vegas, that coincides with a concert of Michael or MJ1. So the family members, Michael's family members were there. Of course, his sons, Prince and BJ, were there. His nephews, Taj, their nephews with his their families, Taj, Tell, TJ, and Ziggy. And they were all there. So I'm going to read to you an article that talks about the event. It's a rundown of what happened on that event. This is from MJVibe.com. I'm going to get this thing ready. So we're going to quickly read what happened on that day. Pop up. So, okay. The birthday weekend celebration kicked off on Sunday, August 28th, with the hashtag MyMJMovesDance challenge, judged by writer and director for Michael Jackson 1, Jamie King, and the show choreographers Rich and Tone Talaga. Sorry about that. The day's festivities featured an exclusive Q&A with acclaimed director and choreographer Kenny Ortega in recognition of the upcoming 25th anniversary of the History World Tour, which launched on September 7, 1996. Ortega was joined on stage by members of the Michael Jackson 1 creative team, Travis Payne, Jamie King, Rich and Tone, who all have worked with Kenny Ortega and Michael Jackson. Making a surprise appearance was Michael's drummer of 30 years, Jonathan Sugarfoot Buffett, who joined the group in sharing memorable and inspirational moments of working with Michael. In attendance and enjoying the afternoon festivities was Michael's son, Prince, along with several of his cousins and family members. The day's events culminated with everyone, including Michael's younger son, BJ, joining his brother and other family members and a sold-out audience for a high-energy performance of Michael Jackson 1. Ticket holders for the performance also had the opportunity to meet with representatives of the estate of Michael Jackson, including the participants in the afternoon activities. On Sunday, August 29th, attendees were able to meet Michael Jackson's longtime costume designer and author of The King of Style, Dressing Michael Jackson, Michael Bush, at an intimate book signing. Okay, so that's what happened there. That seemed pretty cool. If you're into those things. Now, I have nothing against any of this, because we have to start accepting the fact this is how it is now, and all those years of fighting for what's right for Michael's estate and all that didn't turn out the way we wanted. Some of us want it, but what's done is done. When I saw the pictures of the family being there in Las Vegas, and I saw Prince talking to fans and all that, I realized that this was natural to him. And this is what we were waiting for Trina to do. I remember years ago, I was watching a TV show, and they did a some kind of feature on the legendary performer Dean Martin. And Dean Martin is originally from Iowa. So his daughter, I think her name is Dina, would go to Iowa every year and meet up with fans and talk to them and sign autographs. And the fans would tell his daughter, Dina, stories about their father, her father, and how he meant so much to them. And I thought to myself, this is what I want Michael's children to do. And I saw this before Michael died. So when I saw this, I said to myself, this is what I want Michael's kids to do. I want Michael's kids to talk to the fans and get to bond with his fans and get to know their stories and how much their father meant to them. And then when you fast forward to August 28th, and I saw the pictures of Prince talking to fans, taking pictures with them and having conversations with them, I realized that this is what he's supposed to be doing. This is what we're fighting for, so that he and his brother and sister can do stuff like this, can go to events like MJ1 in Vegas or Gary Indiana or Forest Lawn and talk to fans about, meet with fans about, you know, on Michael, and talk to fans about their father in a way that is respectful and nice and kind and understanding, because they are the legacy. Michael's children are the legacy. When I heard Prince was filing paperwork to start working for the estate, it's like, that's the reason why we did the stuff we did for them, was to make sure this happens. It's not because we don't want them there. We want Michael's kids there. They're supposed to be there. It's theirs. It's the family business. We just don't want anyone to hijack it. We just don't want them to run something and it's not properly done. And it made me think about, you know, maybe the approach of how I handled it the first time around probably was not the right approach. Yes, John Branca, some members of the estate, the works for them, estate, the executors, and their employees, they were suspect and are suspect. They're questionable people. But if we flip it around and let certain family members of Michael, not the niece, we're not talking about the younger generation, we're talking about siblings of Michael. If we let them run the show, they'll take everything. And people say, oh, how would you know that? Oh, they're the type. Excluding Janet, they would take everything. And that's something we don't want. So I think the best thing to do, I think the way they were seeing this was, we're going to have to do this for his children. And they didn't want anything to disturb it, because the one thing they did not want was a family member who Michael didn't care for coming there and ruin everything. I know it's kind of strange what I'm saying, but at the same time, when I look at the situation that happened in the previous years, I don't see anything that the family did that truly benefited his legacy. How did what they do help the legacy? I don't know. The A&G trial pretty much should never even happen after we find out what it was really about. I mean, that hurt him, that tarnished him. But the estate executors also didn't do a good job protecting him. they did a crappy job of protecting him, and they're not handling his legacy very well, which we will talk about soon. His children are the only ones that have the power to really run it, because his fans are saving the legacy, but his children have the power to run it. But if you're not together as one to do it, it's just, it'll work, but it's not the same. But when Prince was there, I thought it was great. There's a video of him meeting up with fans. Watch the video. I posted a video of the Q&A when the gentlemen are talking, or people were talking about work with Michael. That's something you need to watch. And of course, the next day after that event, the next day was August 29th, and it trended most of the day. So I posted images of that. Now, who else trended was Oprah. And Oprah, I didn't like the idea she was trending, because I thought, okay, what is it now? But when I clicked on it, I realized that Oprah was trending because of something, of an interview she did with Dolly Parton back in 2003. And she really tried to make Dolly Parton look like a fool, but it backfired. And someone saw it and decided to make it trend. And it's just, it was weird to see that Oprah was trending on Tuesday, on Michael's birthday, for the wrong reasons. It just seemed like divine intervention. Michael probably decided, on my birthday, I want this woman to get what's coming to her. And it was interesting. And I'm actually glad that people are seeing the real Oprah. And I didn't care either way. She deserved that type of treatment because she's scum. Now, during that time, I was being sold, you know, he was being shrouded on social media, of course, worldwide. Fans over the world were honoring him. We have the flash mobs. There were fans going to Forest Lawn, of course, in Las Vegas, of course, in Gary, Indiana. So, in this article I'm reading, but over the world, not just in America, I know there was some events going on in China, in Russia. So, you know, where we... You know, Michael Jackson would have been 63 this year. This article came from News18.com. Fans over the world celebrated the birthday of the King of Pop with favor and fanfare. They took to Twitter to share a range of ways that they celebrated the day, August 29th, from a simple cake at home to an entire flash mob. Michael Joseph Jackson is regarded as one of the greatest entertainers in the history of music. Born August 29, 1958, the American singer, songwriter, and dancer popularized the moonwalk, which became synonymous to him. Dubbed the King of Pop, Jackson's contributions to music, dance, and style influenced artists of various genres. Jackson enjoyed global presence with his trademark red zipper jacket and sequin gloves, which define a convention in fashion. Check out the different ways that fans celebrated legendary pop star's birthday anniversary this year. So they have fans from China, they did a flash mob. We're going to get to the official Twitter account in a minute. In Detroit, the Motown Museum, there was full of people who were dancing machines, celebrating his birthday. Fans who were Danish and Swedish, they joined forces and did floral memorials that were posted. It was posted on YouTube, not YouTube, Twitter. And this beautiful memorial was posted on Forest Lawn. So it's beautiful. Then the Chinese fans, they arranged an airplane to float out a sky banner to honor his birthday. It says MJ Day, and it was just really nice. They did piano tributes and a cake. They did a cake for him. A sunflower cake. I ate a cake too that day. I did. It was good. And so that was really nice what they did for him. This article is from MJVibe.com. I'm about to read right now. It's about the world wishing him happy birthday. Get to it. Okay. The world came together this week, at that time, this weekend to celebrate, meaning 2 weeks ago, what would have been Michael Jackson's 63rd birthday. From celebrities to radio stations, from friends and family members, messages of love and wishes flooded social media. This is what they posted a tweet from Ed Sullivan Show, which stated, "Happy birthday to the King of Pop and the Jackson 5 Golden Boy, Michael Jackson." Watch all of the Jackson performances on the Ed Sullivan Show YouTube channel. The daughter of the late Frank DeLeo wished Michael happy birthday, stating, "Happy heavenly birthday, Michael." Cirque du Soleil, "We are proud to be able to showcase your songs and signature dance moves on stage." MJ1 at Mandalay Bay, "Happy birthday to the King of Pop." We're going to get to that in a minute. Harrison Funk, one of Michael's longtime photographers, "Happy birthday, Michael." Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis, "Today would have been Michael Jackson's 63rd birthday. The moniker King of Pop only scratched the surface of his musical impact because mere words could never truly describe his singular greatness. So today, let the music speak. Long live the King." His sister LaToya said something. Smooth Radio said something about his birthday. Of course, the images of fans from Forest Lawn, beautiful flowers, these beautiful bouquets, floral arrangements, just gorgeous. As COVID restrictions eased in some countries, fans were able to meet again. In the United Kingdom and Belgium, fans went to see the Jacksons. Of course, his brothers were performing in London, in Belgium. And in London, fans met at Burn This Disco Out, where they danced all night long to Michael Jackson's music. So, images of dance party they had. One tweeted, "What a night. King is called from Kingvention. Thanks so much for this. We needed it." And just very nice stuff. Okay. In Las Vegas, the official Michael Jackson birthday bash of 2 days took place, as well as the estate. Travis Payne, Kenny Ortega, Jonathan Secretfoot Muffet, Rich and Tone Taluga, Miko Brando, Michael Bush were present at the event, but also Prince, BJ, and 3T were meeting fans and enjoying the festivities. Okay, so that's the images of them there. Video. And during the event, the estate has released unseen footage from the History World Tour, as rumors were planted before that the estate will make a big announcement, such as announcing a new album. It seems that they are working on releasing History World Tour in the next few months or in next year. This project is in process already before COVID disturbed the world. Also, in Gary, Indiana, Michael's hometown of the, Gary, Indiana, first home of the Jacksons, fans celebrated King of Pop's birthday with music and dance. So, images of people in Gary, Indiana dancing, and of course, virtually, MJ Chart Data organized a surprise streaming party with the hashtag Dangerous Streaming Party, which was followed by hashtag Dangerous Tour Watch Party, with thousands of fans participating. That was really nice. And it was really, that's what really happened. It was really good. And so, I want to read, I want to say this. When I saw this on Twitter, I was moved by a lot of stuff he was saying. You know, I never tried to, like, be emotionally on this, in a sense, because I miss Michael every day. We all do. But when it's his anniversary's passing on his birthday, I get emotional because I miss him. I miss him a lot. And when I saw and read the tributes that people on Michael, I'm not gonna lie, I tried not to shed tears. Of course, family have said something, honored Michael on his birthday, his nephew, Taj, his son, Prince, his daughter, Paris, his niece, Brandy, his nephew, TJ, we'll get to him in a minute. Ziggy, everybody said something, Janet, so everybody said something on his birthday. His brothers, TJ and Jackie, TJ's not his brother, TJ's his nephew, Tito and Jackie, so everybody said something. I read a tribute that a gentleman by the name of Alan Scanlon. He is known as Big Al. He helped do The Rise of Neverland. I want to read this tribute that he posted on his Facebook page. I decided to post a link. I didn't want to screen capture it because he didn't share it. So I'm just going to read to you what he said. Okay, it's kind of long, so I'm going to read as fast as I can. I will attempt to paint a picture of the weekend events in Vegas, but the truth is you have to be there. No explanation needed for my friends in the MJ world, but for my friends that do not get my connection with Mr. Jackson, I work for him for many years. I started going to the ranch as a consultant when he first started putting amusement rides in, and later went to work for him full time. When he will hear me tell stories about my time with Mr. Jackson, I want to make it clear that I am not one of those people that want you to think I was one of his best friends. I do want you to try to understand what a great, sincere, down-to-earth, gentle soul person he was, and he treated me better than a friend. The weekend started with a dance contest in Cirque du Soleil / MJ1 Theater, a short video of some HD footage of the history tour, an incredible Q&A with Kenny Ortega, director, choreographer, creative assistant on several MJ projects, and with a surprise visit from Travis Payne, choreographer of MJ1, and with the MJ tours, Jonathan Sugarfoot Muffet, Michael Drummer for 30 years, Jamie King, director of MJ1, Rich and Tone Toluga, choreographers of MJ1. I can't tell you how deeply it touched me to hear these folks share their memories of working with MJ. I know the fans enjoyed it, but it went deeper for me having to be part of such a small group of people on the planet who were blessed enough to get to know Mr. Jackson, the person. Next, a private reception with birthday cake and snacks, John Branca, Michael's MJ Estate, Karen Langford, MJ Estate, the Toluga Brothers, MJ1, creative team, all spoke. Next up, Cirque du Soleil presents MJ Magnificent One. What a great show. I highly recommend it. Even if you are not an MJ fan, you can't go wrong with the evening with the Cirque du Soleil folks on stage. The following day started with a private brunch with appearances by the Estate team and the Cirque team. I was extremely lucky to have gotten to spend time with everyone listed above, most of whom I have not met but intimately connected with due to our relationship with Mr. Jackson. It was overwhelming how these conversations went, so sincere and so much camaraderie. A special thanks to the entire staff of the MJ1 Theater and the MJ1 Store. You are awesome. A few names not listed above that I was truly happy to see after MJ passed. I was not sure if I would see them again. Taj Jackson, Michael's nephew, Mika Randall, Michael's friend forever, and Michael Lee Bush, Michael's wardrobe for 30 years. Mr. Bush also did a book signing at the MJ1 store. If you do not have his book, The King of Style, get it. It was great hearing the Michael Bush side of my Santa Claus suit, handmade by Mr. Bush story. Mr. Jackson called him after I was unable to produce a Santa suit by 11:30 p.m. Christmas Eve, and asked if he would make a Santa suit for Big Isle. Bush, who had not met me yet, sorry, everyone. And not hear me yet. Asked how big is Big Al. Michael replied, really big. I guess I did have two Betty Brownies while waiting in the train depot. And finally, a huge amount of MJ fans who were, without a doubt, the most loyal and dedicated bunch of people I have ever met. And speaking of fans, a special hats off to one of the hardest working on keeping his legacy alive, organizing events for all the fans around the world, Ron Pierre. The biggest moment of the weekend for me, and name not included above, Michael Joseph Jackson II, a.k.a. Prince. Not a day has gone by that since Michael passed, I have not thought about Mr. Jackson's children and prayed that life treat them well. I have not seen them since the service in 2009. Prince was swamped with fans right before the dance contest, but I waited patiently. He did not recognize me at first, but when I introduced myself as Big Al, it was hugs and tears, and some hugs and more and tears. We had a great conversation and crossed paths a few more times over the weekend, each time with some great conversation and some motorcycle talk. I do not have many photos yet, as I am not a selfie person, so I must rely on others who were there to send me the photos. Here are a few that I will post more when I get them. There is a video somewhere out there in the clouds. When I reunited with Prince. Happy birthday, Mr. Jackson. In his own words, it's all for love. That was a very, very nice tribute. If you're on Facebook or Instagram, follow Big Al. Thank me. Thank you. You'll thank me later. Okay. I gotta stretch a little bit. Sorry about that. Yeah, so follow him if you have not followed him already on social media. Alright, follow him. It was a mouse. Okay. Now, I thought that was really nice what he said about, you know, friends and all that. So, next up, TJ did a tribute to his uncle that he posted on his YouTube channel, The Family Rules. You need to watch it. Now, I know I come at TJ kind of harshly because he's kind of like, how can I say it? He's not a bad guy. He just, I don't agree with a lot of things he did when it comes to how he handles things in the family. But again, I think with me, and this is not to say, you know, I'm going to apologize for stuff I said, but I never trashed him. But what I will say is this. Certain things I should have just stayed out of. I should have just stayed in the middle. Because really though, what do I really know? I'm going by what I think is right, as I should. But I don't know if they did certain things to look out for me. But at the end of the day, you know, what's done is done. Okay? And other than that, I know that TJ meant well. I believe I should say he meant well. I know he tried his best with Michael's kids. It is what it is. Some things just doesn't make you a bad person. It's just, anyway. Watch the video he tributed with his, on his channel. He talks about going to MJ1, showing his children their granduncle. Man. They would be his grandnephew and grandnieces. But, TJ has two kids that never met Michael. And that's Jordan and Riho. Or Rio. I'm sorry, not Riho. Rio's one of the cousins. Jordan and Rio. They never met Michael. Because they were born after he died. Didi was born a year before he died. So, she doesn't know him either. But she probably has met him. Anyway. The last 2 minutes of the video was a very touching, moving moment TJ had talked about just honoring his uncle, what he did for him. And I think people need to listen to it. And it made me think about, you know, I almost shed them tears. I said, no, Belinda, you're not going to cry. And it made me think of, you know, all the stuff I said about TJ. I just know that. I don't hate him. I don't have anything against him. I feel like I said, he could have handled things a little better. He could have just left it alone and just said, you know what, I'll take care of his kids and help out. But I'm not going to entertain some of the stuff they do. I think he should have been a little stricter on them, but that's another story. Other than that, his heart was in the right place. I'll give him that. But please watch his tribute to him. Now, his father, Tito, did some interviews. And I'm going to just tell you what he said because it's from the dailystar.co.uk. It stated, Michael is said to be brought back to life on stage as a moonwalking hologram. His brother Tito said talks are underway for a CGI recreation of the King of Pop to thrill crowds in Las Vegas. Tito, 67, a member of the Jackson 5, with Michael, insists once the technology is right, fans are able to watch Jackson perform hits including Beat It, Thriller, Billie Jean once again. He said there's been talk of that happening in Vegas. It's just a case of getting it down to and ensuring the technology is sufficient for what you want to get done. We needed to be able to do the moonwalk. Is this man serious? I don't want a hologram. I want the man to be protected. Oh, God. However, he did state it was the obligation of the family to honor Michael's legacy. And, of course, the brothers performed on his birthday, and it said some nice things about him. And I got this from an account on Twitter. called At. She drives me wild. So, when you click on the show notes, you can click on the link and you can hear what they said. And there were celebrities in blue tick that honored Michael on his birthday, but when I saw this particular one, I was in shock. So, Diana Ross didn't really wish Michael a happy birthday on social media, but she wished Beyonce a happy birthday. Yeah. Don't be shocked by that. The only person in her family that wished Michael a happy birthday was Evan. Evan loves Michael. Don't be shocked by these things. She also wished Oprah a happy birthday, so. She always do that. Diana Ross is a weirdo. I'm just gonna say it like that. She's not worth she practically ruined that man's life. If he wasn't so obsessed with her, he probably would have had better options. Because it's like, if you ever, like, read the stuff he said about this woman, it's comical to be like, what did he see in her? Like, she can't even honor him properly. Like, I remember during the trial, she said some really, she pretty much said that, you know, she really couldn't defend him or something like that. It was just like, she said something, I forget y'all. But she didn't really support him in the trial. I don't remember what she said. But she would never trash him, but she just didn't say, what we feel she should say something. She didn't really say anything. I thought it was weird. Knowing that she put her kids around him. But she's, a lot of these Hollywood people are fake. Very fake in Hollywood. And that's the one thing you're going to learn when you listen to this podcast and you listen, when you just, in general, just study him. He didn't have a lot of friends. You're not going to when you stand up and do the right thing. You're just not. Not in that industry. He's not an elitist. He was not an elitist. Okay? This MJ estate. So, to honor his birthday, you know, what messes me up is Michael had fans that did, like, video tributes to him that were awesome. Like, so good. Even the Shade Room had to take and go, we're going to post this. And it had, like, over 500,000 views. I think it had 600,000 views on the Shade Room Instagram page. That's a fan-made, you know, video. But the estate, a billion-dollar entity, can't even do a decent, you know, 2-minute clip on all the greatness that he's done in his life. They gave you a 15-second gift. I mean, that shows Michael's name in cursive. They can't be for real. They're for real. That's why they'll never, I swear, anyone ever said, who saved his legacy? I will say it's the fans. It will never be the estate because they can't even honor him properly. The fans did everything. Literally. Everything. If it wasn't for us, you know, Leaving Neverland will still be believed. We sat there and did the work and destroyed that movie. And the estate just, oh, we're going to court and we'll have evidence to prove these people are liars. You could have posted every single thing on your social media accounts. You didn't. The fans did everything. I mean, they didn't even post Square One. I think a fan emailed them and asked them why. They said, oh, Square One is a third-party documentary. It's helping him out. It's sad. I don't know. And I don't know if they're going to even support Toddy's documentary. Because if they did that with Square One, just imagine what they'll do to a Jackson documentary. You know, they're lazier than lazy. One of the greatest entertainers of all time. This is the type of tributes he get. Ridiculous. Overall, you know, Michael was loved and celebrated by the correct people. And I want to make this clear. When MJ fans get upset over the media not doing right by Michael. Please don't get upset by these things. Okay? Because it's just a... Let's put it this way. If the media trashes you, you're doing something right. You're doing something right. Don't get angry because some idiot, you know, chooses to believe nonsense about him. No, you should get mad. You should feel however you want to feel, because that's your right. But remember that they're going to keep doing what they're doing because they think they won the battle. They didn't win anything. You really won the battle, you would have destroyed him years ago, and he wouldn't be able to have fans anymore. They can't get rid of this dude. You can't get rid of someone who's embroiled in the fabric of American culture. You just can't do that. Okay? And so, you know, that's what it is with that. Okay, so again, hi birthday to the great Michael Jackson. We love you and we miss you horribly. Before the celebrations, there was a next topic we're going to talk about. A woman named Gloria Haydock, who passed away before Michael's birthday. Now, if you don't know who Gloria Haydock is, Gloria Haydock was one of the true blues in the fan community. We had the late Mary Brookins, who took it upon herself to go look for some information regarding anti-defamation laws, and was trying to get one passed to protect the deceased from defamation. She didn't have to do that, but she did it. And those are the type of fans we need to honor and we need to respect and all that. Unfortunately, Mary is no longer with us. And now we have lost another fan who, before the social media era, all this, she really, for the fans in the UK, she really was helping Michael out. And her name, again, is Gloria Haydock. I'm going to read to you an article from, again, MJ Vibe that talks about her impact in the fan community and why I said that we're losing these type of fans anyway. So I'm going to read to you what they stated. Gloria Haydock was well known in the UK fan community, especially for those who were born when the internet was not invented and the main source of information on the King of Pop was fan clubs and magazines. Gloria, along with Adrian Grant, created Off the Wall and King magazines, and the fan club MJNI. That stands for Michael Jackson and News International. I used to be a member of that message board. Ooh, I would say 2001-ish. The fan, besides the King of Pop board. And eventually in 2002, I became a member of the Energy Forums. But anyway, the fan club got access to Michael Jackson and helped promoting his music, his art, to his fans via different media. She also helped fans in the UK get tickets for concerts, award shows, and other social events. MJ and I also organized MJ events, which from time to time Michael would attend or send a message to the fans attending. In 2002, Gloria organized a Killer Thriller event, which Michael attended. She has inspired generations of fans, and we will never forget what she gave to our community. Gloria Haydock passed away in her home in Bournemouth. Rest in peace. Now, this woman did a major thing in the fan community in the UK. In America, we have a fan named by the name of Donna Green, who created the King of Pop Fanatics. And they had different art. This is before social media, before the internet. And they had different parts. They have a New York one, they have a Los Angeles one, they have a Texas one, they have a Las Vegas one. And so the UK have their own person that was Gloria Haydock, along with the great Adrian Grant, who did the book Michael Jackson Visionary. Please go get that book. So when they did that, they did it for the fans. When a time period when the only way you can get the information from fans, if you live in the UK, information about Michael, if you live in the UK, like they said, was through the magazines like Off the Wall and King. So they also said in there that she did the Killer Thriller event. This is the event where Michael called out Sony and it goes viral like every other year. This woman organized that event. So her death is a big deal. It's really sad. And when I heard this, I was shocked. I never communicated with her. Like I mentioned, I was on that message board, MJ and I, when they had a message board. And she ran that message board. She really did a lot in the fan community. She even worked with Michael to do some of his charity work. And it reminds me of an interview that the MJ cast did with a fan who was an American fan who had a fan group, a fan club. But then he stopped operating the club after the allegations hit Michael in 1993. And it reminded me of, it's so sad that certain people will go reach out and find these fake fans to do interviews with, but Gloria, when she was with us, was here, and they never thought, let's reach out to her, let's talk to her about what she did for Michael, what kind of man he was. We'll talk to a person who left him hanging over allegations, didn't stand by this guy. That's why I said, people like Gloria Hayduck, people like Mary Brookins, we're losing these people. We need, especially in the social media era, we need fans who actually love this man. We don't need fans that want fame. That, I supported him, but then I let the media think for me, I'm going to leave him hanging. We don't do that. That's not a real fan. And we should not interview them. They sold out. Part of being a fan is you take the bullshit. Because he took the bullshit. This isn't about looking good. He was never liked in the media. And that's something you have to get through your head. If he was liked in the media, trust me, he wouldn't have this. He wouldn't be dead today. He wouldn't have these problems. And we have to understand that. Can't understand it if we try to fit in. That's not... MJ fans should not fit in. That's not what MJ fans do. We are not meant to fit in. You can't fit in if you are a fan. Because you lose track on everything. Then you start comparing him to other people. And that's not fair to him. Gloria helped out. Gloria looked out for Michael. Gloria wanted Michael to be honored properly. And she did her job. And looked out for the fans, because that's what fans do, because she was the epitome of what it seemed like what a community is supposed to be. A fan community is supposed to be. It's a shame because we put so much energy on the wrong group of fans, and then we wonder why, you know, things are not going the way it's going. If Gloria is with us today, she probably would have sided with the family on getting particularly Taj on helping out with this documentary. And I'm assuming she was horrified by this nonsense with leaving Neverland. But overall, you know, Gloria, may she rest in peace. My condolences to her family and people who knew her, who cared about her. And thank you, Gloria, for what you did for the fan community. You changed the way, did your thing for Michael. You really helped him a lot. And you did what you had to do, and thank you. The next topic we're going to talk about is Bad turning 34, defending a classic. Now, Bad is probably one of the best albums ever made. I'm not going to read every single thing on this article, because I really want you to read the article for yourself. I'm getting tired of Michael's work after Thriller being trash. I'm going to read to you an article written by Chris Lacey from his Medium account, chrislacey1990.medium.com, and it's called Defending Michael Jackson Bad, A Labor of Love. Okay? I'm going to see if I can read. I'm going to read up to The Greatest Showman, and then you guys can read the rest, okay? Because I don't want to say too long. We are going to definitely read this article again in the near future, but I want to read up to, this is kind of long. I'm going to read up to The Sky's the Limit. I'm going to read, Let me think. I'm going to read up to that. And if I want to read again, I will talk about it again. Okay? Let's go. Of all the hot takes I've seen on Twitter, that damn Twitter. That part is not in the article. Nothing prepared me for this one. I didn't think someone could contradict themselves this much in less than 280 characters. Then again, the internet remains undefeated. Nah, because honestly, the album y'all go hard for is easily his weakest. Bad pop perfection still, but it lacks a coherent theme and in terms of sequencing. Bad's more known for its era overall in terms of visuals and tour, but it's still the era that feels the most complete. How is one of the most decorated and beloved albums pop perfection yet easily his weakest? Consider my rebuttal plea for sanity, or better yet, common sense. Bad is Michael Jackson's magnum opus. The album's legacy, on wax, on film, and on stage, was a labor of love. Crown or drown. No other album in the music history has lived up to the global phenomenon that is Thriller. Over 66 million copies sold worldwide and counting. 7 Grammy Awards in one night. 7 Billboard Top 10 singles, 2 of which were number 1. 3 short films that bring to mind Dancing Zombies, Red Zipper Jackets, and Glowing Pavement Tiles. 2 Library of Congress introductions as an album and a short film. 1 Boyhood Dream of making the biggest album ever. Come true. Put yourself in Michael Jackson's black penny loafers. Do you retire and become a backable oldies act? Or do you take an extraordinary leap of faith and show the world that you can do more? Most musicians would have sequined when the big spotlight arrived and coasted on their back catalog. Not Michael. Although, let's read again because I read too fast. Not MJ, though. He wanted Bad to be his best work yet and sell 100 million copies. I love not only reaching a mark I've set for myself, but exceeding it, he explained in his 1988 memoir, Moonwalk. Doing more than I thought I could, that's a great feeling. Many people came to see the spectacle. More came to see him fail, and most left blown away. King of Charts. I wish I could say Bad's resume needs no review, but it clearly does. The first and only album by a male artist with 5 back-to-back number one pop singles, Jackson received Billboard's first Spotlight Award for this record-breaking success. The first album to reach number one in 25 different countries, it debuted at number one in America, stayed there for 6 weeks straight, and remained in the top 5 on the Billboard charts for 38 weeks. Bad sold more than 2 million copies its first week alone and outsold the rest of the top 40 combined. It earned a Diamond Certificate in February 2017 from the Recording Industry Association of America. Worldwide sales are above 35 million, making it a top 15 bestseller in music history. Bad wasn't the commercial juggernaut that was Thriller. No album by any artist came close. Still, album sales and chart positions don't tell the whole story. The fact that he stepped into a lion's den of expectations and soared to new high-speed volumes. The sky's the limit. Okay, I'm going to keep reading. Sorry, can't myself. It's no surprise that Michael Jackson's triumphant return to music put his opponents on edge, earning him the fitting nickname, the King of Pop. The surprise is how many people ignore Bad's creative and technical leap forward. I hear this often. Michael was a song and dance man. He had the best producers and session musicians behind him. Stop it. Prince had Wendy and Lisa. Stevie Wonder had Robert McAuliffe and Malcolm Cecil. The Beatles had Sir George Martin. Does that make their music less enjoyable? Of course not. Whether it's one person or a team, great art is meant to entertain and inspire. Bad is the clear version of an artist working with others to make something profound, personal, and unique. On an album loaded with pearl pop classics, some underestimate Speed Demon's high powered engine. But this ear-scorching funk roaster embraced its dark horse status, swerving past them in a slow motion, middle fingers up. Ain't nothing gonna stop me, ain't no stop to go, no stop and go. I'm Speedy on the midway, I gotta really burn this road. Fun fact, Jackson wrote the song after getting speeding ticket on his way to the studio. Quincy Jones challenged him to turn that experience into music, and Mike returned with a banger. Speed Demon is amazing. Q Wave. I mean, Michael's imagination is awesome. You know, it really is. He's very unique, man. He stays out of the box. I love that. A calm, coastal breeze runs through the librarian girl as Jackson's love letter to Black Beauty proves that he never left his rhythm and blues that birthed him. Librarian girl, more precious than any pearl. Your love is so complete. Librarian girl, you kiss me, then ooh, the world. You do this to me. Librarian girl is one of my absolute favorites of all of the music I ever done with Michael. Engineer Bruce Dean Express. Who could have think of a thing like that except Michael Jackson? It's astounding. The imagery and everything else in it. It's just an amazing musical and sonic fantasy. Bad rightfully won the Best Engineer Album Non-Classical Honor at the 1988 Grammy Awards. Unlike many pop stars who hire outside writers to pin their hits, Jackson wrote 9 of his album's 11 songs and co-produced the entire project. Taken together, Bad is a musical Halloween with the production value of an Oscar-worthy motion picture. Each track showed us an artist at play with his creative toy box, throwing on different styles and personas. Blockbuster pop. Another element of Bad that monetarily elevated the music was the short films. We remember the Zipper and the Buckles in Bad, the 45 Degree Gangsta Lean in Smooth Criminal, and the Carnival Ride Pop Paranoia in Leave Me Alone, but the subtle details in the short films that set his work apart from his peers. Yes, Bad struts his West Side Story street ballet in a Brooklyn subway, and near the 14-minute mark, it becomes clear that Bad is a story about freedom, to embrace who we are and let go of what society told us to be. Yes, New Criminal is an old Hollywood fusion of Alfred Hitchcock's Rear Window and Fred Astaire's The Bad Wagon, but did you know Ernest Payne was one of the several celebrities invited on set? He worked with Astaire on many films, and he assured Michael that Fred would be enormously proud of the tribute. Shortly before Astaire passed away from pneumonia in 1987, he said, "I didn't want to leave this world before meeting my successor. Thank you, Michael." Yes, Leave Me Alone fires a supremely funky middle finger at the tabloids, but it's also fascinating how you can watch it on mute and not miss a beat. The Price of Fame shows a life-size MJ crushing the media circles around him. In some cases, he toyed with the media, and in other times, he felt like a victim. Either way, he was a modern-day Charlie Chaplin. Thankfully, Jackson's goal to study the greats to become greater never lost its translation. He earned a MTV Video Vanguard Award in 1988 for changing how we hear and see music forever. The Greatest Showman. The globe-trotting Bad Tour, Michael's first tour without his brothers, made him the greatest showman since Pete Barnum. One day in rehearsals, he heard a wrong note. Michael said, "Let's go from the top," recalls assistant music director Kenny Dorsey. "I thought he meant the top of the song. He meant the top of the show." Couple that with the murderer's row of musicians around him, and you have an endless arsenal of hits. Even with the world-class talent around him, boy, did the King of Pop impress. When he performed Another Part of Me on stage, he's connecting to something out of this world. When the groove starts to serve him, he whoops and hollers. He claps. He unleashes a flurry and taps on the floor as his feet are on fire. When he spins to his knees on the axe-treading rocker during Diana, he not only falls into the nightmarish abyss of celebrity freedom, Phantom, he brings the rock and roll genre back to its Black American music roots. The epic finale, Man in the Mirror, is close to religious experience as a pop culture can deliver. Over 4.4 million people felt their hearts break, only to have them picked up pieces back to get stronger than number 4. I'm starting with the Man in the Mirror, and I'm asking him to change his ways, and no message could have been any clearer. If you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and make a change. As a 30-year-old, Jackson honed his brilliant skills to perfection. He barely rested for a 2 count of years when he could have taken a night or two, but never did. That's something I can't hate on. You shouldn't either. Final thoughts. We're almost 35 years removed from the moment you saw a musical genius achieve the unthinkable, but ignorant opinions are what's wrong with social media. Those with at least the least amount of information need to get the most attention. It's one thing to have God-given talent. It's another to have a constant yearning to be the best you can be. Michael Jackson had both, and he delivered every last drop on Bad. Go ahead and rank that. Oh, the article wasn't that hard, wasn't that long, but it's a fantastic article, and thank you, Mr. Lacey, for doing this article. I love it. There's another article that talks about how when Bad came out, a lot of people didn't like that album. Of course not. They didn't like the album because they didn't want him to come back. But by the time I was doing, including the show notes, that article, that blog was already out there. So I'll probably read that in the near future. Next topic. He is number one. Recertified albums are Thriller, Bad, and Dangerous. Once again, Michael is number one on the Smooth Radio annual countdown. Now, this countdown, this radio station actually stopped playing his music because of the Leaving Neverland nonsense. But then they played again, and in that year, he was number one. And he's number one again last year, and he's number one again this year. After thousands of votes, we have crowned, this is from the website, smoothradio.com. We have crowned the winner of Smooth Radio, Smooth Icons 2021. Michael Jackson was voted by Smooth Radio listeners and SmoothRadio.com readers as the best artist of all time in the third annual Smooth Icons Countdown, maintaining his crown from 2020. Or 50,000 votes, 57,000 votes were cast in the poll, which saw Michael be 2019 winner. 2019 George Michael won. 2020 he won last year, and again this year. The highest group was Queen at 3, followed by ABBA, who were expected to release a brand new music this week at 4, and the highest female artist, solo artist, Whitney Houston at 5. Speaking exclusively to Smooth Radio, Michael's brother Tito Jackson said that the King of Pop's win, I'd like to thank you to the fans for selecting Michael as the Smooth Icon artist that they like the most. Michael has always been just totally genuine talent. He said, he's just a nice guy. He loved my kids, and we really miss him deeply. He means a lot to the family. Smooth Icon aired on Smooth Radio on Monday, August 30th, after an online vote asked listeners to vote for their favorite artist of all time. The full top 10, Michael Jackson, George Michael, Queen, ABBA, Whitney Houston, Bee Gees, Elton John, Elvis Presley, The Beatles, and Prince. So congratulations to Michael on that. Now, Chartmaster. Chartmasters is a website where people, where they do updates on charts. And Michael was, it seemed like they recertified him, his stuff. So who's number one? Thriller. Number four was Bad, and Dangerous was number 15. So that's fantastic. Now, the next topic we're going to talk about is Janet Jackson released a trailer to her documentary. Now, I didn't see this coming. She did this last week. I didn't see this coming. I was just chilling, and I went on Instagram. Well, I was just sitting around just looking at Instagram, and I saw it on her Instagram Live. So, ooh, what's this? So I click on it, and it was the document, trailers for a documentary. And I was just like, yeah. So I'm going to see this. I need all of you to watch the trailer. Of course, a clip of Michael is there. This is when Michael and Janet, it seemed like he was in her room, and she's on a laptop doing something. This is around the time they did Scream, the video, I believe. But he's going to be in it, and yes, she's going to talk about her brother, her father, her life in the documentary, and I think everybody who's a fan of music should see it. I think everybody who loves Janet should see it, who loves Michael should see it. If I like what's going on here. This is going to be a 4-hour documentary, but tonight it's going to air on a Lifetime and A&E. So I have to get an A&E out quickly. I am not missing this. I want this to happen for her. It's time. And I don't know what she's going to say on there, but you know that I will do a review for the documentary on this podcast. So I will definitely be watching. I will watch 3-4 times just to get my thoughts together with it, but I'm going to be watching. It's going to be a lot of people going to have a lot to say about her in this documentary. She's going to finally talk about a lot of stuff. So we are all going to watch. And I wish her the best on this. I really do. And I'm excited for her on this. And before we end this episode, I want to talk about two things. Around the time of the original episode, we noticed there was an actor by the name of Michael K. Williams who passed away. He was on the show Oz. He was on the show Love Lacrosse Country, I think that's what it's called. He was also a fan of Jenna. He was a fan of Michael. And I would like for him to rest in peace. And my condolences to his family. We don't know what happened to him. And there's some nonsense going on there. They're trying to make it to something else. They're even dragging Michael's name into it because they believe he died of something dealing with drugs. And I just want to make this very clear. Michael did not die of a drug overdose. Michael was murdered. There's a difference. If people want to rewrite history to make their points, that just tells you that I think social media is now becoming a place where dummies who don't read are intentionally rewriting history to be an in-the-know person. Part of being a smart person is you have to read and research. You don't jump into conclusions. We don't know what happened. We need to respect the fact that the media just isn't going to tell the truth. And we have to start being like that. Just because it says something on something doesn't mean it's the truth. We shouldn't comment on something if we don't have official word. So it needs to stop. If you see that nonsense everywhere, just ignore it. Just ignore it. So may he rest in peace and my condolences to his family. And also, 20 years passed since the September 11th, which was a horrible day. I don't want to talk about it too much because as years going on, I'm starting to really, like, be bothered by it. It was a horrible day. I remember that day very well. I was 17 years old, and I went to school that day. And when I heard about it, I thought it was a lie. I was like, yeah, right. And then they actually, like, broke news and talked about it. And it was just like, what? And I remember we were shocked. We couldn't believe it. And we had to, it got, when the second plane hit the second building, we were like, okay, what is going on? And they didn't know what to do. So they decided to dismiss class. And we went home. Everybody went home. Like, everybody. So we went home, and I went home, and I was the last person to get home, and just sat there and watched the world change. And, you know, I want people to study, to really look up what really happened that day for themselves. I don't want you to go get it from the media. The media makes up stuff. Not everything they're saying is true. And not everything they're saying, you know, it happened, but there's more stories out there. And the media tends to pick and choose who they want to. And that's not right. You need to tell the real story. Don't tell a story that you want to tell because it fits your narrative. You tell what happened. Do your own research and figure out what really happened that day. Also, Michael did a charity song for that horrible day called What More Can I Give? Go listen to that song. It's a beautiful song written very well. He really wanted to use the song to raise money for the families of the victims of 9/11. My condolences always to the families, to anyone that was affected by that horrible day. It's such a horrible day, and it was such a bad day. And it's funny, you know, they say the media talks about we have to stick together on that, but the same media, you know, continues to destroy a whole legacy. I remember one time, Deborah Norville, who hosted the show Inside Edition, she had an MSNBC show on, and she compared, this was in 2003, she had a poll that compared Osama bin Laden to Michael Jackson over an edited, cut and paste documentary, Living with Michael Jackson. So we're going to compare a guy who saved lives, a guy who changed the world, to a guy who killed thousands of people, who was a terrorist. When the media want to talk about getting along with people, do not believe them. They are hypocrites. The media are frauds. They're comparing a decent human being to a mass murderer. Why? Why was his name even mentioned? So keep those things in mind when you hear the media just run their mouth about one day we're going to get along and we're going to get together and do stuff together. No, the media is not in the business of getting along. The media is in the business of destroying people and promoting agendas. That's what they're for, and supporting propaganda. Part of the reason why a lot of people suffer in this world is because of the media. So don't fall for this stuff. If you want to study about the September 11th stuff, and I don't want to make this, because it happened, this event is happening around the time through this episode, I'm recording this episode, actually days after, I want to say this. I'm only telling you this because I don't want you to fall for the crap. I want you to know the real story. So do your own research on that. And if you believe what is out there over the media, that's your right. But the best way to honor these people is to remember who they were to their families and to pray for their families. That's it. Not just the victims of September 11th, but also the people who survived it, who later passed away, the people who were the heroes, who tried to get people on there to later develop illnesses and pass away. Those are the people we need to pray for, and their families too. And that's it. You know, so anyway, I'm done with this episode. I don't want to be too long with it. The next episode will be a book review. So that's going to be completely different. But quickly before I end this, I just want to tell you the references of where I got this information from. So articles, MJ5.com, News18.com, DailyStore.co.uk, ChrisLacely1990.com, medium.com, smoothradio.com, and chartmasters.org. Social media, Twitter, images of Michael trending from twitter.com, image of Diana Ross wishing Beyonce happy birthday from her Twitter account at Diana Ross verified, screen captures from twitter.com, Michael's brothers honoring him from at She Drives Me Wild, image of the tribute of Michael from his official Twitter account and at Michael Jackson verified, Instagram image of Michael and Miss Janet captured by at MJJJ, President and Janet Jackson's upcoming documentary. Facebook, Alan Scanlon or Big Al, posts about Michael and the MJ1 event. YouTube, Q&A session with people who work for Michael on the MJ Cash YouTube channel account. TJ Jackson's tribute to his uncle, posted on his Family Rules YouTube account, and Janet Jackson's trailer for a documentary, posted on her official YouTube account. Thank you very much for listening to this episode, this very rushed episode, and hope to see you later on, not really physically see you, but hope to do this again later on this month, if not early October, but I'm planning to do another one this month. Sorry about that. All right. Night.